There is a seismic shift going on all across the social media landscape, one that's really interesting to watch evolve. And with us to talk about what's going on, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, this is interesting, and you've managed to combine two very different pieces of social media here to start things off.
Yeah, morning, Bob. So here are three words I never thought that I would be stringing together. TikTok meets LinkedIn. And that's the kind of seismic shift I'm talking about. We have apps that are competing for market share, various apps all getting into this audio social media space, apps that are experimenting with the content that disappears after 24 hours. But we also have this shift towards younger audiences.
So TikTok meets LinkedIn. That's a real thing?
It is a real thing. TikTok is launching something called TikTok Resumes, and it's a pilot program, and they say it's designed to continue expanding and enhancing TikTok as a new channel for recruitment and job discovery. Now, for its start, the company is going to partner with a handful of companies, and they're going to accept TikTok video resumes.
So let's talk about why this is important, and it goes way beyond whether someone uses TikTok, right?
Oh, way beyond. And so here's what I take from this, Bob. LinkedIn will still be known as the business social media network. Countless companies are going to use LinkedIn to recruit and research employees. But think of what happens when college kids are about to step into the workforce. My traditional social media advice has always been create a LinkedIn account, upload a resume. Now I'm going to have to modify it to include check TikTok for valuable career advice. TikTok says, get this, TikTok says that videos using the hashtag career advice already generate more than 80 million video views a day. And, you know, that 80 million stat alone is very telling. People of a certain age, they're growing up using TikTok. It's very possible they may have never seen LinkedIn. And TikTok is capitalizing on the fact that there's no reason for them to use LinkedIn if they stick with a social media platform they know and they trust. And in this case, TikTok is a platform where they have friends and they feel comfortable.
And what about companies who use LinkedIn? Are they all of a sudden going to embrace this big shift, the seismic shift, as you call it?
Well, that's actually the question of this whole conversation, Bob. Will they? Think of the pros and cons of doing that. If a company sticks with what it knows, a twist on what I just said about the younger set, it may miss out on a whole slew of candidates that possess the skills that companies need to succeed. And the world is increasingly digital, so they're going to need those skills. I'm not a career expert, but if I owned a business and I knew that I was potentially missing out on an entire age group because they're somewhere else, I would be compelled to look into how I could benefit from that.
So that brings up a great question for a business owner, someone hiring, and all we're hearing about these days is various businesses having a hard time finding employees. Do they need to be on TikTok?
Right now, I think the answer is they should monitor trends and be familiar with the landscape. So here's why I say that. This TikTok program is limited in scope right now, but I don't think it's too big of an assumption to say that if it's successful with 80 million video views a day about career advice, that it'll grow the offering and eventually become an additional place to recruit for jobs. See, I don't think that LinkedIn is ever going away, but I don't know how this isn't something that has LinkedIn executives on the edge of their seats. And let me say this, a business owner who looks for talent on TikTok might end up just being far ahead of the game. I think you can learn more about a person in a 60-second video than you can in a whole resume.
Well, we talked last week about how TikTok was the most downloaded app, and for that reason alone, businesses have to pay attention to what's happening, don't they?
Exactly, yeah. There was a time when I said other platforms could compete because they have the benefit of time and market share, but market share only goes so far. Even if an older audience laughs at TikTok and spends hours a day on LinkedIn, that still leaves a lot of potential talent on the table. Facebook loves to do things because of its scale, so it can almost immediately make a dent. That's still true. Same for Instagram and same for LinkedIn. But TikTok is the choice of this younger generation. So you have TikTok, you have Snapchat, and all these other apps that are changing the landscape.
Continuing with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg, and when it comes to time spent on social media as a whole, we are spending a lot. Tell us more, Scott.
Yeah, sure. So there's this new study out that found that Americans spent an average of 1,300 hours on social media. Facebook came out on top at 58 minutes a day, or that's a year, or actually that's a little more than that, or 325 hours a year. Instagram was second with 53 minutes a day, or 297 minutes a year, followed by Snapchat at 50 minutes a day and 277 hours a year.
What stands out in this study for you?
I think, Bob, the purpose of the study is to focus on all of the screen time that we're racking up day after day. But I look at these from a social media standpoint, through a social media lens. It shows me that to reach these young audiences and these audiences in general, whether it's the shifting older audience of Facebook or the younger audience of Snapchat, we always have to be aware of where they are. You know, in my youth, I know there were countless studies about how long people spent in front of the TV. But the world is different now. We still watch TV, but of course there's YouTube and there's streaming.
Yeah, and based on, Scott.
No, you go ahead.
Based on what you've told us this morning, if they do another study soon, they're going to find out that more people are spending more time on TikTok, it sounds like.
Yeah, and that's just what it is. You know, the seismic shift within social media is always evolving. You know, I mean, I think about, you know, what's going to happen, you know, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. You know, they keep talking about all these virtual reality headsets and eyeglasses. And I think, like, the definition of multitasking is going to be completely reinvented. So I think watching surveys like this tell us a lot about the next things that we need to be aware of.
Have you heard much about this new book coming out today about Facebook? It's called An Ugly Truth, written by a couple of New York Times reporters. And one of the reviewers wrote this about the book. The social media behemoth does as little as possible to prevent disasters from happening, then feebly attempts to avoid blame and manage public appearances. Sounds like quite a critical look at Facebook.
It does. I have not had a chance to read the book yet, although I did read the preview of what's coming out. And quite honestly, you know, I'll say this, Bob. For someone who follows Facebook the way I do, and I know there are other people out there who really follow all of the news, none of this is really surprising. I think that's the thing. I think what's interesting about this book is a lot of the books that are out there about Facebook have Facebook's cooperation, where people are, you know, interviewing people that Facebook sets up and current employees. These people tried to go through, according to the story, they tried to go through those channels but didn't have a lot of success, so they relied on other methods of talking to people. And I don't think that Facebook is particularly happy with how that process went, just based on what I'm reading. But at the same time, you know, they say it's a very true, you know, look inside what Facebook culture is like. I'm looking forward to reading it, mostly because I read every book that comes out about Facebook.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. You'll be hearing a lot about An Ugly Truth. Now, as for the Genius Bar today, the problem I'm having, this is kind of unusual. I follow a lot of folks, a lot of organizations on Twitter, and one of the people I follow, noted former sportscaster Bruce Wolf. But for some reason lately, when I look on my Twitter feed, I see like countless tweets from Bruce. Now, don't get me wrong, I enjoy hearing what he has to say most of the time. But why is that showing up more than anything else? Like, out of the first, you know, 25 or 30 tweets I'll see, like 10 of them are his. What's going on?
Well, there's a few reasons I can think of for that. Offhand, the first thing I think of is, if you're interacting with his tweets more than you are with other tweets, the algorithm is probably thinking to itself, wow, Bob really likes what this guy is talking about on Twitter. I'm going to show him more stuff. It could also be that Bruce is doing a lot of tweeting, and what you're seeing is the catch-up tweets that you haven't seen already. So Twitter, the first thing Twitter tries to do is surface the tweets that you have not yet had a chance to see that it thinks you're interested in. So if you aren't on Twitter for a day or even 12 hours and he tweets five times, those are the ones that are going to show up first by design to make sure that you don't miss it. And then as you interact differently with tweets, that'll show and that'll change how it appears in your feed.
That must be what's happening, because I'm not interacting with him.
That could happen, but if you're reading it often, that may be a thing that the algorithm doesn't realize that you're not. It just thinks, oh, I want more, more, more. So I think the secret there is to interact with other people and see if it changes the distribution.
I'm going to start immediately. Thank you, Scott Kleinberg, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.